Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Thank you so much for taking time to participate in the Employee Cycle Podcast. We really appreciate it since we understand how much work you're doing to reduce the stress, anxiety, and so many other things that are going on during your workforce. So today we're going to talk about how HR is leading their company through COVID and through uncertainty. But before we get started, I would love for you to provide some background information in regards to your name, your company, your role, and your location.
Certainly. It's also my pleasure to be here. And my name is Nikki Buchan. I am a human resources director for Velocity EHS. My location is Canada. So I look after actually the Canadian location as well as all of the Commonwealth locations that we have. So the UK and Australia as well. And part of a bigger HR team that stems out of our head office in Chicago. So we do a lot of things together. Outside of just looking after my region, all HR decisions and initiatives and things like that are all stem out of the team as a group. So we're not very siloed, actually. Yeah, that's we have a pretty lean but functioning team. We have about, I think, 5 or 6 people on our team, on our HR team, all specializing in different areas. Yeah.
Awesome. So one of the things that I've realized is that as HR is looking out for everyone else, there's probably very few people that are asking HR how they're doing. So I would like to be one of those people. And so, Nikki, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. And you'd actually be surprised. We get asked quite a bit how we're doing and are we okay? So we have a fantastic leadership team. They're very thoroughly engaged with the entire company. And they definitely understand that a lot of this pressure falls on HR, and they're very, very supportive about it and very encouraging and do like to check in and make sure that we're okay and do we need anything. So that's really nice. We're also very supportive of each other. So we do, we have a number of our HR meetings, usually with specific tasks at hand. We also just have a get together where we actually go online and play Scribble, and which is basically online Pictionary. And we do a little socializing there and have a little fun. So we're all doing pretty well, actually. I personally am doing pretty well. I'm a homebody anyway, so this is kind of right up my alley.
Oh, nice. Okay, got it. So we all now just move to your safe space and
yes,
your happy place, basically.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Got
other than it. Having my face plastered in meetings all day, yes, other than that.
Nice. By the way, Scribble, I'll have to incorporate that into our team's games as well. We just played Fibbage.
It's so fun. But you have to get your own, you have to make your own group though, because if you just join, I don't know who's on there, but it's not as fun when you don't know who you're playing with.
Got it. Noted. And I'll put that in the show notes as well, so other people can get a link to it. So today we're talking about how HR is leading their company through COVID. One of the things that I think is interesting is that HR, by definition, seems to always be ready for a crisis, more so than marketing, sales, finance, or any other department, because uncertainty is kind of baked into the role. And there's already so many policies and procedures and so many things of just in case. So I'm curious, what are some of the HR skills that you've had to bring to the table that you've been building over time to really help you and your workforce get through this?
Well, first, I do agree that HR is somewhat always prepared, or has to be somewhat prepared. I think that if you have a role where you have to balance business and people, you always have far more aspects that you need to consider in every scenario. So it is quite a balancing act. And as you know, get tenure in your role and learn through experience, you get better and better and better at that. So it's definitely a factor in our everyday lives to consider multiple things at one time. So for us, for helping our people along, we basically have to keep a very close eye on what is going on outside. What's going on with legislation. As I said too, we have multiple locations. So it's not just, we don't have one place to look at. We have multiple places to look at, multiple jurisdictions and laws coming down from different municipalities, different countries, and all that stuff. So a whole lot to consider, because we don't just look at one location, we have to look at all of them. And then, of course, there's also the well-being of our people. Not everyone is prepared to be working from home. Not everyone's great at it. Some people have small kids running around. There's so many factors to take in place. So we try to get as much information as we can from the outside, best practices and things like that. We make sure that everyone is communicating. We do a whole lot on Teams. Like, our whole company is on Teams, and we have a number of committees. Our diversity committee is on there. Our COVID reentry team, everyone is basically meeting on Teams. So we have so much information that's going back and forth about COVID, about mental health, about all of that stuff, that there's multiple resources for everyone. We're also, of course, as HR, making sure that we're very in touch with our leaders. We have a huge push this year already, even before COVID took place, in leadership development with competencies and things. So that is still going full force, ensuring that we're supporting all of the managers and helping their teams to deal with everything, and making sure that everyone is touching base, that they're, you know, having little fun times with their team, that they're checking to make sure that everyone's okay, and do they need help because they have a family situation? Do they need to work different hours? What flexibility do they need, and what can we give them to help them in their job?
Interesting. So one of the things that I've been hearing a lot is that it's really come down to focusing on over communication. And so I'm curious, with you having to manage a workforce in multiple locations, what does that look like from a communication standpoint?
Well, we record anytime we have any major communication. So like every week, actually, we have a town hall in the afternoon. We will probably put those down to every 2 weeks moving forward, just because there's not enough change happening as quickly now, as things are sort of slowing down a little bit. But every week we have representatives from our executive team go on and do a little session on what's going on in the business, what's going on in the world around us, anything that's changed. As well as doing a question and answer period. So getting to all of the questions that people have about what's happening and what's going on. And they're very forthcoming and honest and truthful in their answers and open. So those are all recorded. So if we have an area, say like Perth, where they're literally, you know, they're sleeping while we're awake and working, everything like that is recorded. And then we do the odd session as well with them live, so that it's not always a recording for them. But other than that, everyone really can manage to either join those meetings or see the recordings of it.
So I want to give a timestamp of today being June 9th, because it's important to know where we are in the world based off of your responses. So I wanted to know, when I was doing interviews back in late March, early April, people were really scrambling around all types of employee engagement efforts, whether it was pet parades or cooking demonstrations, fitness coaching, people teaching each other how to make drinks, different cocktails. Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious now, and I guess it would be important to know, was your company doing that, where you're doing those types of things? And if so, because it seems like we are getting closer and closer to this new normal, have you stopped? Have you figured that those things really engage your workforce, or you're going to try to continue to do those? What does that look like?
We were doing a number of those things before COVID ever came out. So yes, that's almost a normal for us. We do a lot of that. We do very continuous lunch and learns. We have groups that do, things like that, like making drinks or how to plant something. That's always been a part of our culture. So yeah, it probably got amped up a little bit during the whole COVID thing. It has not actually slowed down. We have same sort of things that you were just mentioning there. You know, how to make this cocktail or how to cook this. We actually had one of our staff do a stand-up comedy routine, a stand-up against COVID. And during that time, we raised $1,000 to send off to various charities. And if we hit $1,000, he was going to cut his own hair. So there's that. But we continually have those things happen. We just had a mental health month, so we had a lot of things go on for that. It's now Pride, so we have a lot of stuff going on for Pride this month. None of that stuff has stopped. We've even done like Art and Sip, where every week we had a picture to paint, and everyone would paint their pictures. And have a drink and show your pictures off and talk about your experience in painting it. We have a number of those things, and different groups even have some of their own. So there's larger ones that go about and people can join. We have trivia every Monday for Pride this month as well. So there's tons going on, but to be completely honest, that's always been a bit of our culture anyway.
Got it. And I'm not sure if we spoke about this already, but was everyone at your company previously working in an office prior to COVID, or did you already have some remote employees?
We have both. So we have large offices. Our head office is in the Merchandise Mart in Chicago, and it's in like an entire floor, so it's gigantic. We have an entire floor and a half or floor and three quarters in Oakville even as well. We have a building in Ann Arbor. Perth has an office as well, and our Florida office also is in a building as well. So we have people in offices. There are people on the ground every day. We also have some people that work remotely, that work from home in different locations. Some people even just work from home some days a week if that is what worked for their lifestyle. So now, thankfully, a number of our populations, it was quite easy for us to transition to working from home. And when we made the decision to do it, we literally had it done in 2 days. So there were some challenges more with our larger population in Chicago in getting equipment quickly and getting it out in time. But other than that, we have a number of locations and everyone's really working pretty well from home.
Speaking of challenges, what were some of the hardest parts of transitioning people either to work from home or through emotional or mental challenges that people were having? I mean, what were some of the things that really challenged your team and that you were really happy about getting through?
I think some of the larger challenges were more on an individual basis, which is, you know, if you happen to be a person who has small children at home that were normally in daycare, in school, and you're at work and now you're at home and so are they, it's a little more difficult to try to run a regular work day when you have children that want your attention. So I think we have a number of people who found that to be a challenge. Other than that, I mean, it was just basically technology wise. I mean, we made the decision to sort of run out and get a bunch of Chromebooks in a hurry, just due to what we needed to do in that time span and having IT sort of stretch thin to even do that, never mind setting up a whole bunch of laptops. So the initial decision and transition and basically 2 days to have everyone work from home was a larger challenge, but it's worked very well now. And it's sort of figured itself out. So now what our challenge is how much budget are we going to focus on revamping all of the offices and setting everything up to be COVID safe, as opposed to do we invest some of that money instead into bettering people's home work environment?
That's interesting. What are some of the variables or things that are going to go into making that decision?
We really need to look at return on investment, right? We're not in a rush. I mean, our mission is making workplaces safer and more sustainable. So we're not in a hurry to put anyone in danger in our own company, that's for sure. So it will definitely be, when we do return, it will be a phased approach, and it will start with volunteers or essential workers first, and it will be only a small percentage of our population. We are going to have to invest some money anyway in getting those things like wipes and, you know, all the signage and all that stuff that's going to be necessary to make it a safe work environment. But then again, we're going to have a number of people who choose not to go back and not to go in, you know, maybe even until there's a vaccine. So we don't know. We're still dealing with a lot of unknowns here. So we're actually about to release a survey, which is what I'm truly looking forward to, because it's very hard to make these decisions, even based on the conversations you do have as you go along in your days, without really knowing what people are feeling, what they're feeling in different locations and what they're feeling in different departments. And like how does our population feel about going back? Are they eager to get back? Are they nervous about it? So until we actually can identify what some of that is, it makes it a little harder to make concrete decisions. So we're basically at this point still a little bit waiting. There's still a lot of unknowns for us. So again, we're not in a hurry. We're not in any rush to put anyone in any danger whatsoever. So we don't have any plans for anyone, you know, heading back until, you know, late August, September area. And then we'll take a look at it. But in the meantime, we will have the data from the survey. We'll have more than one survey, actually, but we'll have a little more data to play with. And we'll also get to see sort of the results of what's going on in the world right now with people going back. So, I mean, Florida is a pretty good example of that.
Got it. Nikki, thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest. especially with this being your first podcast. Really, really excited about that. So on behalf of our team at Employee Cycle, and for everyone who will be listening and learning from the gems of wisdom that you just shared, we hope that you, your family, and your team are all safe and healthy. And we really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Oh, thank you so much. It was actually such a pleasure. Thank you.